eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. We are going through week by week predictions for all 17 Saints games in 2024. The schedule came out today and it's a doozy. The first five games are really, really tough. I have the Saints starting 1-3, then getting on a roll, winning five games in a row, getting to 6-3 after week 9. And then that's where things start to get wonky, in my opinion, right? So one of the interesting matchups for this season, one of the more intriguing teams to watch is going to be the Falcons. It's going to be Kirk Cousins and how that team kind of coalesces around him. I don't think it's going to go as smoothly as a lot of people seem to think. Vegas has their over-under, what, 9.5, 10.5 wins, which is crazy. I think they are going to struggle, but for whatever reason, I think this is how this is going to go. I have them lose, going 1-3 to start. One of those losses is to the Falcons. Then I have the Saints winning five straight and bookending that winning streak with another loss to the Falcons. I have them dropping here to 6-4. And I don't know. Like the Saints, anytime stuff feels like it's going too good, they lay an egg. And at least this version of the Saints. And I think this is where you lay an egg against the Falcons team. You get swept by the Falcons. That's my prediction for this year. I think I can't remember what I had the score at. I didn't write it down here, but it's going to be a low scoring game either way. Then week 11, you have the Browns at the Saints. This is a tough one. This is a game that, you know, I don't believe in Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback for the Browns. I don't think he's going to be anything special for them. That said, he does a lot of things the Saints struggle to deal with. And this is just another one like, hey, we got up this week. We won five games. We got to 6-4. What can we do to piss the fans off? Well, losing back-to-back games ahead of the bye, not like you did last year, but it's a very similar situation to what you did last year, right? Like everyone wants to talk about last year and say the Saints and never had a chance to get going. Well, you were in a situation where you beat the Bears, you beat the Colts and you beat the Bears. And you got over 500. I want to say they were 5-4 going up to Minnesota to face the Vikings. Oh, win there. You're 6-4. You go into the bye week. You're feeling really good about yourself. You come out, you face the Falcons. Instead, you have probably your worst game of the season. You go into the bye with all these negative vibes. And then you come out and lose to the Falcons. Follow that up with a loss to the Lions. And that's when the season really started to feel bleak. And I kind of see the same thing happening here. I think that the Saints just can't, this version of the Saints just can't handle success. And I think they lose to the Browns. I think they fall to 6-5. Week 12, you go into the bye, you come out of it. Rams at Saints. And this matchup is tough for me. I was on the sidelines for that game in LA. you know, the score ended up being 30-22. It wasn't that close. Obviously, I mean, if you watch that game, you saw the Saints kind of rally. They did have a chance, quote unquote, a chance, but it wasn't a real chance, right? Like, they never got the ball back. They were down 8. If the defense was able to make a stand, they could have got the ball back, maybe gone down, scored a touchdown, 2-point conversion, tied the game. But it wasn't, you know, there are certain games last year where you look at it and you say, you know, this was a game the Saints could have won, should have won. Jaguars, you know, the ball, the touchdown to get to overtime knocks off Foster Moreau's hands. And, you know, that's a game you probably should have won. Packers is a game you should have won. You had a 17-0 lead in the fourth quarter and you blew it. Lions, even the Lions game, I feel like you probably should have won that game. If not for the injury, I think you probably do. You probably come all the way back. But that's not the case in all the games, right? And the Rams game in particular was just a loss. The Vikings game, again, another game that you came back in, but that's a loss. You never really showed up for that game. And you don't get credit for, you know, kind of rallying unsuccessfully in the fourth quarter when the game itself was written in the first half. Like, the result of that game was what it was because of what happened in the first half. And you don't get to kind of look past that. That said, I think the Rams and Saints are a lot closer than that game made it appear, because I think so much of that game, the result of that game, was a product of going west in a short week. You can blame it on the coaching staff. You can blame it on the players. They weren't ready for that game. They didn't show up for that game. And the result showed that. That said, I do think that the Saints actually match up reasonably well with the Rams. It's going to be a question of, okay, where is Matt Stafford at this point in the season? I still think the Rams win that game. I think the Rams come in and win this game. I think the Saints drop back to 6-6. Everyone who was yelling fire Dennis Allen after 1-3 is now yelling fire Dennis Allen at 6-6, and they have a much better gripe than they did. But this is kind of how I see the season going. It wouldn't be a Saints season without a roller coaster, and this is where you had it. A 1-3 start, 5-game winning streak, then you lose 3 in a row to drop back to 500. Now, this is where I think you can take advantage of the weakness of your schedule. And we kind of referenced this. The Saints have the weakest strength of schedule in the NFL. They're tied with the Falcons. It's an overused stat, in my opinion. You're using the win-loss totals from last year to justify your predictions for this upcoming season. And for a lot of reasons, that doesn't really make sense. It's just a good way to kind of point out, like, hey, you should be better than you were because you did not face the most difficult schedule in the world. But anytime you're in a division with a team that goes 2-15, your strength of schedule is going to be knocked down because of that, right? You're talking about 2 games against the worst record in the NFL. So that's going to knock your schedule down. This is also a team that's playing the Chiefs this year, coming off an 11-5 season instead of a 14-3 season. This is still the reigning champs, but they don't become easier to beat because they won 11 games last year instead of 14. So it's kind of an arbitrary statistic in a lot of ways. They're, like we said, their non-conference or their non-division schedule, their NFC and AFC schedule is not easy. So I don't know. But either way, this is one of the games that I would chalk up as a must win. It's a game they should be favored in. And it's a game that another game against a team that I think is probably 1 to 2 years away. Brian Daboll is in very similar situation to what Dennis Allen is, in the sense that, you know, he had one decent season. The difference is his 9-7-1 season was good enough to make it to the playoffs, and they won a game in the playoffs. Whereas Dennis Allen's 9-8 season was not good enough to make the playoffs. They did not win a tiebreaker. They did not win a wild card. And so that's where you are. But I would argue that you're in a worse situation because you regressed year over year. That's one of the few saving graces for Dennis Allen's regime, I would say, is that they at least got better year over year. Now, if you backtrack from that this year, that's a major problem. But you can at least say, hey, we won 7 games in year 1, 9 games in year 2. If you can improve on that, then that's just a steady progression, right? It's kind of what you saw with the Pelicans. And people aren't happy about the Pelicans either. But when you go from, what, 36 wins to 42 wins to 48 wins or 49 wins, you can sell that to people as progression. And I think that's what the Saints are going to try to do. But I do think that this is a game that the Saints should go up there and win. I don't even know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Giants at this point. If it's Daniel Jones and he's playing well, he could create problems for the Saints. I don't know. Like, they added Malik Nabers. Who's throwing in the ball? My biggest concern for this game is it's New York in December, right? You're in East Rutherford. I guess it's New Jersey, technically. You're in East Rutherford in December, and this is going to be your first of two cold weather games. How do the Saints handle it? I don't know. But one area where the Giants can be dominant is the defensive line. They have Kayvon Thibodeau, who got double-digit sacks last year. Brian Burns, who the Saints know well. They traded for Brian Burns. They basically turned Leonard Williams into Brian Burns. And then Dexter Lawrence, who I would argue is a top five defensive tackle, manning the interior. So if they can wreck the game, who knows? I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be a rock fight type game. I have the Saints winning 17-9. Get back on the right track. Get to 7-6 and kind of set yourself up for a strong finish. Still going down the line. So you have the Commanders coming into the Saints week 15. This is another one of those games that's like, hey, you're facing a rookie in the Superdome for the first time. You should have an advantage. I love Jaden Daniels as much as the next guy. The Commanders are not ready to win, right? That's when you talk about how easy this schedule is, it's because you're facing a lot of teams who are not ready to win this year, right? These are not teams that you look at and say, well, you saw a lot of really good things last year and they just didn't show up in the win column and now they're going to put it together this year. You don't have those teams. You have a lot of teams like the Commanders who were bad enough that they were able to get their franchise quarterback, but rookie quarterbacks typically don't excel, right? Assuming he wins the job. I don't think he's been named a starting quarterback yet, but I do think this is a game you need to take advantage of. And I think they will. I think this late in the year too, you know, you're starting to see the tanking teams come into play. And I think the Commanders are going to want to be one of those teams that drafts high again so that they can start adding more weapons for Jaden Daniels the same way the Panthers were unable to, but they still were, you know, able to add a couple pieces even though they didn't have a first round pick. I have the Saints winning 41-21, getting to 8-6, and really kind of setting yourself up for a good three game stretch here that, just like last year, will decide your season. And just like last year, you're going on the road for a nationally televised game that I think you're going to have a really hard time in. And that's because you're going, you know, we can, I think the whole can't play in cold weather trope is overplayed, generally speaking, but that's to an extent. Like going up to Wisconsin 2 days before Christmas on Christmas Eve is not something that I see going well for the Saints. You know, maybe they luck out and there's reasonable weather. I don't know. Like you could argue that this game, they should be heavy underdogs in, just generally speaking, because I think Jordan Love has grown by leaps and bounds since they saw him in week three of last year. But this is a game I have the Saints losing. I have the score 21-12. I just see this game being very difficult for the Saints offense to get going. Lambeau's a tough place to play in, especially when it's actually frozen. But let's that drops you to 8-7, sets up two games just like last year, right? You felt really good. You won two games. You go to LA and you get kind of boat raced by the Rams. And you come back and it can go one of two ways. You can either kind of phone it in and lose the plot, or you can redirect and win the games you need to win to get to the playoffs. Because I think, at least by my predictions here, you should be a game ahead of where you were last year. I think they were 7-8 going. They were 7-8 going to their final two games last year. This year I have them at 8-7, and there's a lot of ways you can get there. But I do think that you can get there. Final two games. Now, don't get me wrong. Love me some Antonio Pierce. I think he's going to be very good as a head coach. Again, a team that's not ready to win this year. They drafted Brock Bowers. They don't have a quarterback, right? Aiden O'Connell is not the guy. And particularly in week 17, when this is a team that I expect to kind of be in position to go draft that guy next year. I don't expect much of a fight from the Raiders, and you're obviously going to get a motivated Derek Carr. I think they go out and win that game. I think they jump to 9-7, and this is where you're going to be in a situation that, depending on how the division shakes out, and remember, in my predictions, you lost both games to the Falcons. So you're setting yourself up in another nasty tiebreaker scenario. You got to win week 18, in my opinion. You got to get to 10 wins to have a chance. And I have them getting there, and the biggest reason is you're playing the Bucs at Raymond James. And that is, I would actually feel worse about this potential matchup in week 18 to close out the season if it was at the Superdome. Because the Saints have actually played the Bucs better at Raymond James than they have at the Superdome. The Saints have won five of their last six games at Raymond James Stadium. And the game they lost was the Andy Dalton start where they were, what, up 16-0 and then lost 17-16, whatever it was. It was a crazy Tom Brady game where they came back from like 13 points down in the final 2 minutes, right? So the game the Saints lost was that game. They're that close to being 6-0 in their last six games. And it doesn't even seem to matter who starts at quarterback, right? Like, you won games with Drew Brees. You won a game started by Taysom Hill. You won a game started by Derek Carr. You should have won a game started by Andy Dalton. It's just, you feel comfortable in certain buildings. I feel comfortable about that. And I do think that's the game that gets you to 10-7. I do want to see certain things in training camp to, you know, I might adjust that record prediction down one to 9-8, maybe to 8-7. If things start to look real rough, if we don't see the progression from the offensive line that we need to see, Taliese Fuanga looks like he's going to struggle as a rookie. Trevor Penning doesn't pan out. You don't have answers to protect Derek Carr. I could see the season kind of getting away from him, particularly with that early stretch. If you do start at 1-3, you lose to the Chiefs, you get to 1-4. I think there's also a scenario where you get to 2-6, 2-7, and you do start to see firings, right? So it can go either way. But, you know, I'm just in these predictions. This is optimism season, right? I'm not here to make you miserable. And I do think that there's a path here to 10-7. And yes, 10-7 was my prediction last year. That's basically what you saw, right? You saw a 9-8 team who was 1 17-point fourth quarter blown lead away from being 10-7, making the postseason. And like the issue that people should have with my predictions, or at least like the takeaway you should have with my predictions, is not that I'm constantly saying 10 wins into the playoffs, right? Because you are on the fringe of that. I just think that's what this team is that mediocre 8-10 win team. Because you can go 8-9, 9-8, 10-7. These records are not that far apart. One bounce of the ball here, you know, one nasty weather game there, you know, one drop in the back of the end zone, and you can go from one to the other, right? Like, these games are that close. And the issue is that I see that as pretty close to the ceiling, right? Like, in situations where you do have an easy schedule with a lot of winnable games on it, you have a veteran-laden roster, right? You should be able to feel like, okay, I want to see 14 wins. I want to see 12 wins even. And it's really hard to look at this Saints team and see 12 wins. It's really hard to look at this team and see 10 wins. I had to stretch my imagination and throw a 5-game winning streak in there just to get there here. But I do think this team can get to the playoffs. I do think this team can take a step forward in that regard, even with losses to the Falcons in both matchups. But either way, like, the difficulty of this schedule, I think we kind of impressed that, but we'll hit it one more time before we go to break and get in the mailbag. The difficulty of this schedule is going to be the first 8 games, right? It's going to be getting through that stretch at 4-4. If you can do that, I think you feel good about it. If you can't, then this thing could get ugly in a hurry. And you can do that in a number of ways, right? You can do that with a 1-3 start and then a 3-1 stretch the next 4 games, right? Dak, you can bake in a loss to the Chiefs and still get to 4-4. But you just put yourself on such a narrow margin. And that's been the problem for this team over the last 3 years. It's why you have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. It's because your margin is so narrow that you're unable to get on the right side of it all season long. And I think this is going to be another year like that. And I know that's frustrating for fans, but we'll see. And, you know, if it goes bad enough, hey, maybe you see some Spencer Rattler and maybe people get their wish. But we're going to cut that off there. Again, I'm Jeff Nowak. This is Inside Black and Gold. We're going to come back, dive into the mailbag, go through some of your takes on the schedule. We'll hear how stupid I am from some of you, I'm sure. But stick around for that. We'll be right back.